Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back, joined by Dr. Mark Schneider, one of the country's preeminent authorities on matters involving nuclear forces and deterrence and arms control, a man I've come to know and admire greatly for his work. Some of it I had a chance to participate in at the Defense Department in various senior capacities. He's also a former foreign service officer, and today is a senior analyst with the highly respected National Institute for Public Policy. He is an author of numerous tracts and articles and reports, and as I say, just one of those guys whose corporate memory about what's at stake with respect to our nuclear deterrent is essentially without parallel. Mark Schneider, welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. Good to have you with us.
Well, thank you very much for the very kind introduction.
I want to ask you, first and foremost, Mark, about a gambit, I think that's the technical term for it, that the Obama administration is engaged in at the moment in the United Nations. And we'll talk more in a moment about what the Russians and the Chinese and so on are up to that's very alarming and that really argues for us having the most effective nuclear deterrent we possibly can. But what is the administration trying to do at the UN, and how does that relate to our constitutional treaty-making mechanisms?
Well, as Senator Corker has pointed out, they're basically trying to evade the constitutional requirement for advice and consent on treaties. There is no possibility of getting the CTB ratified because the flaws in it are monumental.
Now, again, this is the Comprehensive Test Ban Treaty.
Yes, Comprehensive Test Ban Treaty, which completely bans, without precisely defining what's banned, nuclear testing. Now, the United States Senate in the late 1990s voted down the Comprehensive Test Ban Treaty by a majority vote. That was completely unprecedented until, I guess, the so-called Iran deal.
And Mark Schneider, you said something very important, and I want our listeners to understand exactly what it means. The Comprehensive Test Ban Treaty, which the President of the United States is trying essentially to get the UN to make binding upon us, even though he can't get it through the United States Senate, does not define the activity that it is banning. How on earth could that be, and what does that mean in terms of its implementation?
Well, it didn't define precisely what a nuclear test was. The U.S. position was that it's zero, absolute zero, no energy released by a nuclear chain reaction or so-called supercriticality when you initiate the a small quantity of uranium or plutonium. So you have a situation where there's a substantial evidence on the part for Russia actually conducting very low-yield nuclear tests since literally 1994 for the earliest Russian press reports, and also China probably conducting low-yield nuclear tests. Now, these can be very useful in weapons development. And there is also a very serious verification problem because it's easy to conduct nuclear tests if you don't conduct them off known nuclear test ranges and for these tests not to be detected. The notional detection threshold for the CTB is 1,000 tons of TNT. The United States or Russia could conduct nuclear tests below that threshold and have very large weapons implications.
So let me make sure that we can translate this for the layperson. The treaty bans nuclear testing, but doesn't specify whether any yield can be generated or not. It appears that the Russians have taken advantage of that opportunity to test, at least in ways that can't be detected. And what you've indicated, Mark Schneider, is that this can be of very real value to them as they modernize their nuclear forces, they and the Chinese too, presumably. So talk for a moment, if you would, quickly, Mark, about what we're seeing in terms of the modernization of the Russian, and for that matter, the Chinese nuclear arsenals, presumably with the benefit of such testing of their nuclear warheads.
Well, both of them have a very comprehensive modernization program for delivery systems underway. In the case of the Russians, there are over 20 announced modernization programs that are either being deployed today, and that's about half of them, or are under development for deployment in 5, 7, 8 years. We have two that are under contract, and neither of them will be operational until the late 2020s or the early 2030s. This is an enormous disparity about what is going on. Chinese have very similar type programs underway. They are both deploying new strategic missile systems and they're developing still newer and more capable strategic missile systems. Both of them are testing hypersonic boost glide vehicles. Both of them, the evidence is from open sources is very strong. They are both developing new types of nuclear weapons. In the case of the Russians, everything from precision, low yield, low collateral damage to the most destructive nuclear weapon ever built.
In your professional judgment, Mark, and I, as I've said, I regard it as among the most competent of anybody in America with respect to these sorts of issues, are we putting the very credibility of our nuclear deterrent in jeopardy by persisting in this practice of, to say nothing of putting ourselves in a position where we would never be allowed to test again if the Obama administration has its way at the UN?
Yes. I mean, we are being put at financial risk, and that's particularly true if both Russia and China are engaging in low-yield nuclear testing, which I think they both are. That gives them an enormous financial advantage. They don't have to do some of the sort of screwball things that we do to try to come up with some alternative to testing.
Computer simulation and so on.
Well, more than that. The cost today of a typical nuclear weapon life extension program is now $10 billion. If we could test, it would be a small fraction of that. And even if you had more more serious objectives like actually improving the weapons, which we're not, you would still be able to do this at substantially less cost. The risk associated with a so-called stockpile stewardship is that you will never know for sure whether these life-extended weapons are actually functional. I think it's highly probable that they will be, but you will never be sure of that. And the Russians, because they can test, will have much higher probability of success.
And confidence that theirs will do the job that they're required to do, whether ours don't or not. Mark, we have to leave it at that for the moment, I'm afraid. Thank you so much for the work you do at the National Institute for Public Policy, and I hope you will come back to us again very soon. The rest of you, I hope, will come back to us on Monday. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.